Welcome to the OCR GCSE Physics Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor for today, and in the next 10 minutes, we're going to completely crack Newton's laws of motion, one of the most important and most examined topics in your entire GCSE physics course. Whether you're sitting foundation or higher tier, this topic will come up, and by the end of this episode, you'll know exactly what to write to pick up every single mark. So get comfortable, maybe grab a pen, and let's get into it. Newton's laws sit in the forces topic, specification reference P2.2 for OCR. They underpin almost everything else in physics, from how cars brake to how rockets launch into space. Examiners absolutely love this topic because it tests all three assessment objectives: AO1, which is knowledge and recall, AO2, which is applying that knowledge to calculations, and AO3, which is analysis and evaluation. So you genuinely need to understand this stuff, not just memorize it. Let's start with Newton's first law. This is the law of inertia, and it's beautifully simple once you get it. Newton's first law states that an object will remain at rest or continue moving at a constant velocity in a straight line unless acted upon by a resultant force. Read that again. The key phrase is resultant force, not just any force, the resultant force. That's the overall net force when you've added up all the forces acting on an object, taking direction into account. Here's the big idea that trips up so many students. An object moving at constant velocity does not need a force to keep it moving. I cannot stress this enough. If you're in a car traveling at a steady 30 miles per hour on a motorway, the driving force from the engine exactly balances the friction and air resistance. The resultant force is zero. That's why the speed stays constant. The moment students think it needs a force to keep going, that's Aristotle's physics, not Newton's, and it will cost you marks. Think of it this way. Imagine you're in space, far from any planets, and you throw a ball. There's no air resistance, no gravity worth mentioning. That ball will travel in a straight line forever at the same speed. Nothing needs to push it. That's Newton's first law in its purest form. Now, Newton's second law. This is where the maths comes in, and it's the most calculation-heavy part of the topic. The law states that the resultant force acting on an object is equal to the rate of change of its momentum. But at GCSE, we most commonly use the simplified version: force equals mass times acceleration. FA equals M times A. This formula is given to you on the OCR formula sheet, so you don't need to memorize it, but you absolutely must know how to use it correctly. Let's be really clear about what each letter means. F is the resultant force, measured in newtons, M is the mass, measured in kilograms, and A is the acceleration, measured in meters per second squared. Notice I said kilograms. This is one of the most common errors in the exam. Candidates use grams instead of kilograms. If a question tells you a mass of 500 grams, you must convert that to 0.5 kilograms before you plug it into the formula. Every year, marks are lost because of this one mistake. Newton's second law also tells us two really important proportional relationships. First, acceleration is directly proportional to the resultant force. Double the force, double the acceleration, as long as mass stays the same. Second, acceleration is inversely proportional to mass. Double the mass, halve the acceleration, as long as force stays the same. These relationships are tested in graph questions and in written explain questions, so make sure you can state them clearly. At higher tier, you also need to know about inertial mass. Inertial mass is defined as the ratio of force to acceleration. In other words, M equals F divided by AA. It's a measure of how difficult it is to change an object's velocity. A larger inertial mass means you need more force to achieve the same acceleration. This is why a lorry is much harder to stop than a bicycle traveling at the same speed. Now let's talk about Newton's third law, which is probably the most misunderstood law of the three. Newton's third law states, when two objects interact, they exert equal and opposite forces on each other. But here's the critical detail that examiners are looking for, and this is worth writing down. A Newton's third law force pair must satisfy all four of these conditions. The forces must be the same type, they must be equal in magnitude, they must be opposite in direction, and they must act on two different objects. That last point, two different objects, is what distinguishes a Newton's third law pair from balanced forces. This is the number one confusion in this topic. Let me give you an example. When you stand on the floor, there are two forces acting on you, your weight pulling you down, and the normal contact force from the floor pushing you up. These are equal and opposite, but they are not a Newton's third law pair. Why? Because they both act on the same object, you. They're balanced forces, not an interaction pair. The actual Newton's third law pairs here are your weight downward, paired with the gravitational pull you exert upward on the Earth, and the normal contact force the floor exerts on you upward, paired with the force you exert downward on the floor. Each pair involves two different objects and forces of the same type. A brilliant real-world example is a rocket. The rocket pushes exhaust gases downward with a huge force. By Newton's third law, the exhaust gases push the rocket upward with an equal force. Same type of force, contact force, equal magnitude. Opposite direction, different objects, the rocket and the gas. That's a perfect Newton's third law pair. Now let's move into exam tips and the most common mistakes I see candidates make. Mistake number one, confusing Newton's third law pairs with balanced forces. We've just covered this, but it's so important I'm saying it again. When describing a Newton's third law pair, always explicitly state that the forces act on two different objects. The mark scheme will specifically credit this. If you just say equal and opposite, you'll likely only get one mark out of two or three. Mistake number two, thinking a moving object needs a constant force. If something moves at constant velocity, resultant force is zero. Full stop. Write it, learn it, never forget it. Mistake number three, using grams instead of kilograms in F equals MA. Always convert. 500 grams becomes 0.5 kilograms. 2,500 gram becomes 2.5 kilograms. Make it a habit to check your units before every calculation. Mistake number four, inverting the gradient on a force acceleration graph. If you plot force on the y-axis and acceleration on the x-axis, the gradient of that straight line gives you the mass. Not one over the mass, the mass. Students sometimes think F equals ma, so A equals F over m, so the gradient must be 1 over m. No, the gradient is delta F over delta A, which equals m. Don't invert it. Now, for 6 mark level of response questions, these are the big ones, worth the most marks, you'll often be asked to explain how safety features like seatbelts or crumple zones reduce injury in a crash. Here's the structure that earns full marks. Start by saying the crumple zone or seatbelt increases the time over which the collision occurs. Then link this to Newton's second law. A longer collision time means a smaller rate of change of momentum, which means a smaller force is exerted on the passenger. Then connect to the impact. A smaller force means less damage to the body. That chain of reasoning, longer time, smaller rate of change of momentum, smaller force, is exactly what the mark scheme rewards. Practice writing it until it flows naturally. For free body diagrams, always draw them before attempting any calculation. Draw the object as a simple box or dot, then draw arrows showing every force acting on it with the length of each arrow proportional to the magnitude of the force. Label each arrow with the force name and its value if known. Then calculate the resultant force by adding forces in the same direction and subtracting opposing ones. Only then substitute into F equals MA. Let's do a quick fire recall quiz. I'll ask a question, pause for a few seconds, then give the answer. Ready? Question one. State Newton's first law of motion. Pause. Answer. An object remains at rest or moves at constant velocity unless acted upon by a resultant force. Question two. What is the unit of force? Pause. Answer. Newtons, capital N. Question 3. A 2-kilogram object accelerates at 5 meters per second squared. What is the resultant force? Pause. Answer. F equals M times A equals 2 times 5 equals 10 newtons. Question 4. What are the four conditions for a Newton's third law force pair? Pause. Answer. Same type of force, equal magnitude, opposite direction, acting on two different objects. Question 5. On a force acceleration graph, what does the gradient represent? Pause. Answer. The mass of the object in kilograms. Question 6. Define inertial mass. Higher tier only. Pause. Answer. Inertial mass is the ratio of force to acceleration. M equals F divided by AE. It measures how difficult it is to change an object's velocity. How did you do? If you got all 6, brilliant, you're in great shape. If you missed any, go back and reread those sections of your notes. Let's wrap up with a quick summary of everything we've covered today. Newton's first law. Zero resultant force means zero acceleration. The object either stays still or moves at constant velocity. Never confuse this with needing a force to keep moving. Newton's second law, F equals MA, resultant force in newtons, mass in kilograms, acceleration in meters per second squared. Always convert units. Always draw a free body diagram first. At higher tier, know that inertial mass equals F divided by A. Newton's third law. Interaction pairs are equal in magnitude, opposite in direction, the same type of force, and act on two different objects. This is different from balanced forces, which act on the same object. For six more questions on safety features, longer time leads to smaller rate of change, of momentum leads to smaller force. That's your golden chain. And for graphs, gradient of a force acceleration graph equals mass. Do not invert it. That's it for today's episode. You've covered all three of Newton's laws, the key calculations, the common mistakes, and the exam technique you need to maximize your marks. Keep revising, keep practicing past paper questions, and remember, every mark you practice for now is a mark you'll earn in the exam. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.